Our first reading today spoke about what we often call heaven. As with much of the book of Revelation, though, it describes both what things are like already in the heavenly realms and what they will be like here on earth when Jesus returns to bring his rule in its fullness. You might think what you might look forward to being included in the next life and what you find difficult here and now that you might hope will be banished. Of course, just because we want heaven to be a certain way or feel that it ought to have this or ought not to have that is no guarantee to that that's how things will be. But a number of things that were mentioned as most people think about what they'd like in heaven are actually promised in parts of Scripture. Some of them are promised in our Bible reading. And we're going to look at what's said in Revelation 7. It's a passage that's rightly treasured by many believers. And there are three things I want to notice about what it promises. First of all, the way the Lord Jesus is at the center. Now, someone could say the name Jesus isn't actually mentioned in that section, which is absolutely correct. The central figure in heaven is here called the Lamb. And that's, of course, because the author of Revelation often uses a kind of code language, some of which can be quite difficult to decipher, but this part of the code is very easy, because the Lamb is a way of referring to Jesus. You may remember last month that when we were looking at the way John the Baptist spoke about Jesus, he called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And there's very much the same idea used in much of the book of Revelation. And here particularly, as Jesus is described in verse 14, as the Lamb whose blood shed on the cross provides cleansing from sin. We know too it's not an ordinary kind of sacrificial lamb being described, because verse 17, he's described as the Lamb in the midst of the throne. The Lamb in the midst of the throne, indeed, will be their shepherd, the writer of Revelation tells us. Which, of course, fits in with the way the Old Testament authors had said, the Lord is my shepherd, and the way that Jesus himself assured his followers that he was the good shepherd. And the inhabitants of heaven are worshipping the Lamb and praising him for his salvation. Verse 9, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. One of the reasons to take part in worship here and now, there's going to be a lot of it in heaven. Not that singing God's praise will be the only thing we'll do. Just as we gain real purpose in this life in serving God, so there's also the challenge and joy of serving him in the next life, mentioned in verse 15. And that's at least one other part of the Bible that gives a hint of what that might involve. But I want to spend a bit of time thinking about who we're told will be praising God in heaven. A great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. At the bottom of this picture, the artist has very deliberately hinted at that in the different skin colours of people's hands. This is another artist's attempt to celebrate that reality. Interestingly, the variation in clothing that people wear in different cultures and different parts of the world, and even here among different people in the UK, aren't seen as still being evident, as everyone is wearing white robes. They're a bit like the school uniform of God's kingdom. Whether that comparison's immediately attractive or not, that's the way it is. But what we look like and who we are and the family roots that are important to us aren't seen as being covered over in that way at all. On the contrary, there's a delight that people are drawn from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, all together worshipping the Lord Jesus. And as a tiny reflection of that, that's why it's appropriate that in each local church, there's a real welcome to everybody to join us in worship, whatever their family background or heritage, whatever their native language. Over the last few years at St. Andrew's, you might say, our worship has become a little bit more like the worship of heaven in that regard. And that's true for quite a proportion of other churches in the United Kingdom. And one of the reasons for picking this Bible reading today is that today is Racial Justice Sunday. As the word suggests, that's not only about celebrating the diversity of God's people, but also trying to do something about the fact there have been times and places in our world where different people have not lived together happily, where those from different backgrounds haven't always been treated fairly. This is a picture taken from some material produced about the time I was born in the 1960s. Up to that point, there'd even been certain job opportunities that were specifically closed to people whose skin wasn't white. Sadly, there are stories too of keen Christians moving to this country who weren't welcomed in many churches either. And all that can still happen today. Or rather, more likely, people can be made much more welcome than they would be if they were the same as the majority who already belong to a church. One artist has drawn a picture of what we should be aiming at, though. A congregation being made up of people from many different family heritages and skin colours and languages. In just the same way, there's a mixture of people who live in the area where the church is based. Us here on earth echoing what's going on in heaven, of people of every language and nation and tribes and peoples, worshipping and praising Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's just time to look at one last part of Revelation 7's picture of what things are already like in the heavenly realms. Verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Life here and now can be great. For all of us, though, there are times when it's very difficult and painful and sad. It's been called by some a valley of tears, a vale of tears. But the promise is that one day, for all who believe in the Lord Jesus, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The focus here in Revelation 7 is protection from the scorching heat and not being able to find enough water. And in Bible times, and still for many today, those are real life struggles that people will rejoice to see no more in heaven. For us, we might be able to better connect with a parallel promise a few chapters later. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. So when we're aware of problems and sadnesses that realistically are not going to be sorted out in this life, or even when someone thinks of a future improvement and says how when it appears, it'll be heaven in a light-hearted way. Well, remember, that isn't just a vague hope, but it's a glorious future promise given to all who believe and trust in Jesus. Amen.